Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Arizona to Arkansas. Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us, everybody. It's a Monday, which means we are wall-to-wall football. Although there was a World Series game last night, in a 2-2 series as the Dodgers took game number 5 to take a 3-2 series lead in two chances in 6 and 7 to close things out for their first World Series championship since 1988. This series has been a doozy already. Game number 4 was one of the craziest, wildest World Series games we have ever seen. We'll talk about it last night and the weekend that was in the October Classic. Coming up here on the show, we'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll do that at the top of next hour. Also, late last night, duel in the desert, the Seahawks and the Cardinals survived by Arizona at the end of overtime. We'll discuss that coming up in 40 minutes. And your best audio of the day in soundcheck in 20 minutes. It's also a momentous Monday. Everything from around the NFL world, and Chad Brown's going to join us, two-time NFL All-Pro linebacker, formerly of the Steelers, of the Seahawks, of the Patriots. Chad's going to join us to talk a little college football and NFL in hour number 4. So we are all over it. I know you guys got thoughts after that weekend that was in both college football and the NFL. Here's your phone number to jump in, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227. Or you want to jump in into the fray on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's do it. There's a million ways you could watch the show. You could watch us on the radio.com app. You could watch us at watchda.com. You could watch us on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel. And there will be plenty to watch this morning. We watched yesterday the Dallas Cowboys season go up in flames. They went to Washington, and there's not really words to describe what is happening in Big D. I said not only did the Cowboys have to win this game in Washington, they had to win handily. There was already a near mutiny happening by that locker room. Last week, there was the report by Jane Slater, NFL Network, that players were texting her that they didn't trust Mike McCarthy and the coaches. They thought that those guys were doing a terrible job, that the players thought, quote, they were bad at their jobs, that they weren't teaching, that they made no adjustments. And to me, going into that game yesterday in D.C., it was obvious that the Cowboys had to get a feel-good victory. Washington, even despite Dallas's injuries, was not more talented than the Cowboys. And that while Dallas, yes, was dealing with a lot of hurt along the offensive line, a lot of banged-up players there, and having lost Dak Prescott, this was still a game that they had to win to stabilize the season. Well, not only did they lose yesterday, they lost in embarrassing fashion and lost their backup quarterback, Andy Dalton, to a vicious hit from linebacker John Bostic, who slid into Andy Dalton with his shoulder to the helmet almost as Andy Dalton was sliding to put himself down. It was an ugly moment in an ugly season for Dallas, and yet it told you everything. As Dalton slid to the turf and Bostic came in and popped him, giving him a wicked concussion, none of the Cowboys players rushed to Dalton's defense. None of the Cowboys players popped up and were angry, were upset, wanted vengeance. No one even seemed to throw a fit that Bostic did the wrong thing, which he did. In fact, the more emotional outburst from players of the field were from his Washington teammates, who realized he had committed a ridiculous flagrant foul right there and would get kicked out of the game. After the game, Mike McCarthy admitted that's not what he wanted to see, and that was surprising. Well, that's damning, that he was surprised his own team didn't respond to their quarterback getting whacked. The fact is, the Cowboys season is not only over, they are a national punchline. It is where we begin your cold open.
Second and seven at their own 48. Allen in the gun. Gibson to his right. Play action, steps back, now throwing deep down the left sideline. That's Terry McLaurin. Wide open, pitch, catch, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
We got to stick together. During these times, we got to stick together. We got to have each other's back. You know, we just got to be better. We got to go out there and execute the game plan and play better football.
Oh, he got nailed.
Yep.
And he is not up yet. His helmet got knocked off, and there are literally four flags down there. Dalton's hurt. Ben DiNucci, warm up, because it's going to be an automatic first down.
You want to be healthy throughout the duration of the season. And, you know, everybody who's played football has been hurt before, and we all know how emotional it can be. And so, yeah, of course, we feel for Andy.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
There is so much that is wrong with the picture yesterday in Washington for the Cowboys. That audio was Washington's football team radio network and Cowboys radio on the calls. That was Zeke postgame and Amari Cooper postgame. There is so much wrong with yesterday's picture for the Dallas Cowboys. Number one, that Washington won and won so easily is damning for Mike McCarthy. Number two, that even when Andy Dalton was in there, the offense was dreadful. And number three, when Dalton nearly had his head taken off by Bostic, none of his teammates rose to the occasion and got fired up, got into the face of Bostic, or wanted some type of retribution. This is all awful, awful signs of Mike McCarthy's leadership. Again, I realize the injury situation for the Cowboys. That is part of the equation here. But what's not part of the equation is having absolutely no heart, no guts, and no want to. The Cowboys are missing that. And that goes to your coaching staff. They are devoid of want to here. They came out yesterday in a game that could define their season and laid an absolute egg even before Dalton got injured. They were lifeless. They were lethargic. They let Washington go up and down the field. They couldn't do anything offensively. And then when their quarterback, and I realize Dalton is new to the franchise, relatively speaking, he came to them in the offseason. He hasn't been there working with those players for a long time. But still, that's your starting quarterback. He's the guy that you've got to hitch your wagon to the rest of the season because of Dak's injury. The fact that he could get whacked like that as he gives himself up. It is an unbelievably dirty play by Bostic. Everybody in the stadium, everybody knew it's a dirty play watching at home. It's obvious. The fact that that could happen and no Cowboys would jump to his defense tells you they are done. Emotionally, they are checked out. It is not Halloween yet, and Mike McCarthy was unable to keep this team engaged and focused until November 1st. It is humiliating. It is embarrassing. It shows you that McCarthy has no control over the locker room and that the locker room is not policing itself. There's no accountability in there. There's no leadership in there. It is so, so, so comical what has happened and sad what has happened to the Cowboys in such a short amount of time. 855-212-4CBS and on Twitter, DA on CBS. I don't see how the Eagles don't win this division going away. I don't see how the Eagles don't end up winning this division by three games because the Cowboys were the best shot at giving a run to the Eagles. Washington and the Giants just simply do not have the horses for a 16-game schedule. They don't. They do not have the horses to win seven or eight games. And as bad as the Eagles have been at this point in time, I still think they'll figure out a way to get to seven or eight wins. And Washington and the Giants just don't have the horses to get there. The Cowboys were the only team to be able to do so with the Eagles in this division. And what we just saw last night, what we saw yesterday, was that they laid down. That they have no interest in finishing this season. They absolutely no interest. I mean, it was startling to see them come out in an absolutely crucial save your season type game and look like that even before Andy Dalton. The final score was 25-3 Washington. It could have been worse. It really could have been worse. Washington led 22-0. It really could have been worse. Actually, 22-3. That game yesterday, had Washington been even a little bit better, could have been a 38-3 type game. And now the Cowboys are going to turn to Ben DiNucci. And now the Cowboys are just going to pack it in even more. Look like they didn't want to tackle Antonio Gibson. Even Kyle Allen looked decent at times, thrown for a couple of scores. Terry McLaurin was open. And even with Andy Dalton, the Cowboys' offense was dead. I didn't think it could get this bad. I really didn't. They're 2-5. They feel like they're 1-10. I did not think it could be this bad. And when you think about just how bad they are, think about the fact that the Cowboys' two wins in a 2-5 season came against a Falcons squad that has collapsed this many times and couldn't recover an onside kick. And against a Giants team where they had two touchdowns, the Giants, two touchdowns called back due to officials. That's the difference between the Cowboys being 2-5 and 0-7 right now. Mraz, I did not think they were going to get humiliated. And we talked about this last week. I was surprised that even Washington was the favorite of this game. I said, that's embarrassing that the Cowboys at least deserve to be favorites going into this game. But my goodness, Vegas knew something that I did not. And that was that the Cowboys were going to roll over and give up.
Yeah, and it is so funny how the strength of the Cowboys, or maybe not funny, for the last couple of years was that offensive line. And we always talked about, well, what would this team look like if they didn't have that offensive line? Now that that offensive line is all banged up and all injured, you got backups galore, they can't accomplish a damn thing. There's no holes for Zeke. He's not making anything happen. They obviously, Andy Dalton can't can't make anything happen behind it when he is healthy. And I did hear you yesterday with your Vegas virtuoso on Sunday Morning Football, and everybody seemed on board that it felt like that at a pick 'em. There's no way the Cowboys are going to lose this game. This is almost a gimme, and they didn't even show up. They didn't even get off the bus. And forget the fact that the Eagles could win the division. DA, that game yesterday at least is buried at 1 o'clock, and everybody's still leading talking about it. They play the Eagles on Sunday Night Football next week. If this continues to go down this road of embarrassment and Mike McCarthy makes the Cowboys on the biggest stage of the weekend in the NFL on Sunday Night Football uncompetitive and they're losing a game 30-3, something like that, forget is Mike McCarthy one and done. Does Mike McCarthy make it through the first season? Does this look like a Ben McAdoo year two situation with the Giants? The team doesn't care. They don't play for him. It's a damn joke.
I think that's fair. I think if on Sunday Night Football they trail by 4 touchdowns and it looks really ugly, they end up losing the game in a blowout, I think Mike McCarthy might not survive the season. I think that he might end up getting the zig because yesterday it was so evident they don't care. They do not care. There's injuries, yes, but there's also a competitiveness that you have to bring to the table. And yesterday, when Mike McCarthy's asked about his team not responding to Andy Dalton having his head taken off, and he said, that was surprising to see, I said, well, write your own death certificate now. That you're surprised that your team didn't respond to its quarterback being decapitated, that's a you problem. You're surprised? That tells me that you're not connected to your players. That they're doing things totally outside of your control, that you don't understand them and they don't understand you. I'm not saying that Jason Garrett has this team at 5-2 instead of 2-5, but this is so much worse than what Jason Garrett brought to the table. Mike McCarthy has made this organization demonstrably worse, and the Dak Prescott injury is hard to recover from no matter what, no matter who's your head coach. But this was going sideways on them with Dak Prescott. This is going sideways on them when Dak was in there. This is an absolute debacle in Dallas.
Yeah.
When we come back here on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. Odell Beckham injured yesterday in the Browns' wild win over the Bengals. Just how significant is it? It does not sound good. We'll get you the update as part of Soundcheck next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. And remember that the DA show you can listen to across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on SiriusXM 206. And stream us on your phone using the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app. We begin with the Bills and quarterback Josh Allen, who yesterday came into their game as huge favorites over the Jets and actually found themselves down 10-0 in this game. Yikes. The Bills ended up needing a billion field goals to beat the Jets and did so, but not before it kind of left you wondering what happened to the Bills' attack. Here is Josh Allen.
But we can do a better job on offense. You know, myself, emphasize there myself, we can do a better job and put some more points on the board and make it easier living for our defense. But, you know, guys stepped up when we needed them to.
Yeah, I'd say that the Bills need to do more. And now we've seen a couple of worrisome performances from the Bills in a row. I mean, yesterday against the Jets is your chance to get good, chance to feel healthy, chance to kind of feel your oats a little bit and blow out an opponent, walk out of it feeling good, but instead you kind of walk out of it saying we didn't play a very good football game at all. There is no excuse for the Jets to be up 10 points. That almost feels like a loss. It counts as a win in the win column, but it feels like a loss because you know you could have played so much better. They had some of their mojo taken away from them by that Titans team. Really, that was a game where you just saw two kind of different levels. And for the Bills and Josh Allen, they need to fix things inside the red zone because there were so many chances where they just stalled They just couldn't figure things out as the defense and the field kind of got congested near the red zone. They had to settle for so many field goals yesterday. And whatever the case is going to be, you've got the weapons with Diggs and with Cole Beasley. You've got wideouts. You've got a good run game. You've got a mobile quarterback in Josh Allen. You know, yesterday to settle for that many field goals and to win 18-10, that will lose against almost anybody else in the NFL. It's good enough to beat the Jets. It's bad enough to lose against almost anybody else. The Browns came back with a crazy win over the Bengals. Great second half performance and late game heroics from Baker Mayfield, but he did it without Odell Beckham, who went down with an ankle injury. Just how significant is it? Here is head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Odell got his knee there. He'll have an MRI in the morning and we'll know more. So disappointed for him. You know, he wanted to be out there very badly.
Actually, it was a knee injury, not an ankle injury, and some are worrying that it's a real serious one. So this is a big deal, obviously, in Cleveland, because when you look at the Browns, I mean, obviously, they're a better version of themselves this year than they have been in a long time. And yesterday, that 37-34 victory over the Bengals, that should give you a lot of life, and it should give you a lot of good vibes in the locker room for the week. You know, the Bengals are not the old Bengals anymore. That Joe Burrow keeps that team in the hunt, keeps them competitive. He led late drives yesterday for touchdowns, and it took the Browns to keep answering the bell. And the throw that Baker Mayfield makes in the game-winning touchdown is really a tremendous, tremendous placement. The Browns feel like they're just a better version of themselves this year than they have been in a long time. And yesterday was a good example of that. But not having Odell Beckham is a huge loss for them. It's a huge loss. And I think also for Odell, it kind of makes you wonder what the future of his career is going to be, because after the early heroics with the Giants and him becoming a household name and a superstar, his career has had a lot of speed bumps. It was the Giants who no longer felt like they needed him around. It was him sniping with Eli Manning. It was him getting traded to the Browns, where he felt they were sending him to Siberia. He ends up in Cleveland with huge expectations. They don't deliver on them. There is a lot of criticism of him as a teammate, of him as a player. They lose a lot of games. They're overhyped. He seems to be emotionally kind of checked out. He's got the video in Paris, whether that's a big deal or not. He's seen crying on the sideline. He's thrown temper tantrums against the field goal kicking net. He's then proposed to the field goal kicking net. I mean, it's been a lot of nonsense around Odell. And if he's lost for this season, when the Browns are actually their best version of themselves and a winning team, a playoff caliber team, what does it mean for Odell's future? What does it mean for his future in Cleveland? What does it mean for his future as an NFL wide receiver? Hopefully he's not done for the season. You hate to see that, but it's distinctly possible that the Browns move on without Odell Beckham for the rest of this year once we get this MRI back. And finally, here's Deshaun Watson as the Texans lose again to fall to 1-6.
Man, this is new to me, so I'm going through it just like everyone else. This is my first time experiencing something like this, so I'm just learning on the fly, trying to stay positive, continue to lead the guys, continue to come to work each and every day and try to improve, and just trying to find ways to win.
I mean, to me, it's not that big a deal that the Texans aren't finding ways to win, because they've already fired their coach, and once you do that, the season's obviously a wash. I think it's going to be very eye-opening for guys like J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson that are not used to being this bad. They're not used to being 3-13 bad. They're not used to being 4-12 bad. And that's what this team is going to be. The Packers were just outclassed them yesterday. And the Packers are a good team. And they were angry after the way that they got embarrassed by the Buccaneers. You kind of expected the Packers to rebound pretty well. And Aaron Rodgers and company did. For Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, and others who are angry and wondering what the hell happened is you fired your coach, you know, in the first month of the season. The season's over. Romeo Crennel's not leading you back into the promised land. So this is now the unfortunate reality of when you're a bad football team. You play out the string. You lose games against quality opponents and you lose them handily. Your season's over by Halloween. This is what it feels like. And they've got to get this coaching hire right, whoever this is going to be, to take over this job, because there's too much talent on that roster to be 1-6. Yes, not the perfect roster. Yes, Bill O'Brien made some ham-fisted decisions there. But at the end of the day, when you have Deshaun Watson, you should not be a 1-6 team. When you have a number of the players, Pro Bowl caliber players that they have, this is a lost season in a year that should not have been lost. Oh, by the way, is DeAndre Hopkins good anymore? Right. We'll talk more about that Seahawks and Cardinals game coming up here, but watching DeAndre Hopkins rip apart another secondary makes you wonder exactly what the Texans and Bill O'Brien were thinking when they traded him. Whereas, do you think that the Browns could still get to the playoffs even if they lose Odell for the rest of the season?
I do, because I think that extra wild card spot absolutely opens up way more avenues for a team to get to 9-7, let's say, and figure out a way to get there. And they've already gotten a 5. So I do think they can get there, though I wonder about the psyche of Odell Beckham Jr., the person sitting there knowing that he's hurt. If now the Browns and now one of his teams has successes and gets to a playoff spot without him being a part of that, that might, I don't know, cause more friction next year when he enters training camp if the Browns then have a letdown year when he comes back. Like, the roller coaster of emotions with Odell Beckham Jr. is always theater, but absolutely I think the Browns could find a way to figure out a way to get the 9 or 10 wins out. They already have 5 and still make it.
What season was the Ben McAdoo playoff season, the party boat season for the Giants?
That was 2016, the party boat.
So that's the last time Odell was part of a winner. So 17, 18, 19. So he's been three.
The only time. They were 11-5. The only time.
Three consecutive losing seasons. So Odell is probably going to be lost for the season. That's what the early indications are on his first time to be part of a winner since that Giants wild card year, which felt like, oh, I don't know, about 100 years ago. Standing by with our headlines this morning is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogish, good morning. How was your weekend?
DA, it was good. Hope you had a great one, too. Shawnee, good morning. Kat, hey, Pete, America, hello. Your headlines this morning are sponsored by NHTSA. If the signals are going in a railroad crossing, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks ever. Stop. Trains can't. It took two batters last night for the Dodgers to show they were over Saturday's World Series heartbreak.
No balls, one strike. Glasnow set. Betts leads from second. Seager lines one into right field for a base hit. Betts rounding third. He is on his way home, and he will score. 10 pitches into the game, the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead.
That's Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. Mookie Betts leading off game 5 in Arlington with a double. Seager then scored on a Cody Bellinger single for an immediate 2-0 lead. Jock Peterson and Max Muncy adding solo homers, and Clayton Kershaw battled into the 6th. Just 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Kershaw also throwing out Manuel Margot, trying to steal home in the 4th inning.
How about that?
3 Dodger relievers closed out a 4-2 win for a 3-2 series lead over the Rays. L.A. can win its first title since 88 tomorrow night. I stepped on you there, D.A. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. I said, how about that? I mean, the Rays, you got to give them credit. We'll talk about this at the top of the hour, but the Rays are trying all types of quirky, crazy ways to win this game, these games, and they did in game number 4, obviously, with the wild finish. But Manny Margot stealing home, that's the first time a player in the World Series has even tried to steal home since 82. And this is the first time, had it worked, anybody would have stolen home successfully in a World Series game since Jackie Robinson. So this Rays team is throwing all types of convention out the window.
And it almost worked. I mean, fingertips away from working and the game being tied at that point. So moving Arizona-Seattle to Sunday Night Football paid off last night. The Cardinals rallying for a 37-34 OT win. The Seahawks take their first loss of the season despite a 27-17 halftime lead. Pete Carroll's club hadn't lost since 2012 when leading by double digits at intermission.
We take such pride in finishing well and doing things right
down the stretch and executing and making the other team out, have to out-execute us. I didn't feel like that tonight. It didn't feel like we were able to force that issue in our favor.
His team was still up 10 late in regulation. Then they could have won an OT after Blake Gonzalez missed a 41-yard field goal, but Russell Wilson was picked off for the third time, and then Gonzalez hit from 48 for that 37-34 win. The Bucs dropped the Raiders 45-20 in the afternoon instead of primetime. Four more passing scores, plus one on the ground for Tom Brady. Tampa Bay has also officially signed Antonio Brown. I think Bruce Arians is fibbing here.
Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was something Jason and I have been talking for a couple of weeks, ever since the injuries to our other guys.
Jason is GM, Jason Light. I mean, there's no way. We know for a fact that Brady was involved in this. I mean, why even say those words out loud?
Well, it's embarrassing for Bruce Arians because it shows that Tom Brady has the ultimate say in the organization, which is what they sold their soul to when they signed him. And we know this because on these airwaves, Bruce Arians told Tiki and Tierney over the summer, we have no interest in Antonio Brown. He's not a fit here. He said that on these airwaves. He said he's not a fit here. Don't tell me that somehow they did some deep dive into Antonio Brown over the last 2 weeks and suddenly came up with, wow, he's a changed man. No, this is clearly Tom Brady, and Arians is embarrassed because it shows that Arians, who's got a big ego, he can't admit the fact that Brady towers over him in terms of influence in the organization. That's what happened when they signed him.
DA, they said those exact words yesterday. He said Brown has matured. Now, he did say, if there's anything wrong, he's out. But again, but they are trying to spin this as if Antonio Brown, the last 5 or 6 months, has done more growing up than in his previous 30-plus years on this planet.
Look, and Antonio Brown might not do anything combustible or volatile to get kicked off of the team. It's distinctly possible he plays Mr. Nice Guy the rest of the year, and, you know, they win a Super Bowl. That's totally in play. But it's hard to imagine that Bruce Arians, if Tom Brady's not on this team, has any interest in Antonio Brown. So that's the lie. And also number two, and we'll get to this later on in the show as well, like, the Bucs need him. They just went out there and scored how many points yesterday to beat the Raiders? And Brady's throwing darts all over the field right now. Like, they need Antonio Brown. Without Brady on this team, there is absolutely no way Bruce Arians is opting to bring in the potential headache that AB has always been.
So last week, without Brown, Tampa Bay roughed up Green Bay. The Packers went to Houston yesterday, won 35-20. The Steelers held off the Titans 27-24 in a battle of unbeatens, and the Saints survived the Panthers 27-24. Carolina's Joey Sly missing a 65-yard field goal and just barely with 1:55 to go. And the Browns won yesterday long after Odell Beckham Jr. suffered that knee injury. Five lead changes in the fourth quarter in Cincinnati. The last one was Baker Mayfield's 24-yard beauty to Donovan Peoples-Jones with 11 seconds left. Five TDs from Baker in a 37-34 thriller over the Bengals. Joe Burrow, his first 400-yard game, four total TDs in the loss. Tonight we have the
And he
Rams
did that, by the way. They lost three offensive linemen in that game. Three offensive linemen.
I never had Joe Mixon.
No, and Burrow, I watched the last, Burrow just kept slinging it, man. He is so good. He's going to be freaking good.
And it makes me wonder if that was part of the reason that the Dolphins felt confident going to Tua. Had Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert struggled early this season as rookie quarterbacks, I'm not sure that you would have as much confidence that you can throw Tua in there and him perform well. But Burrow and Herbert are making things look really easy for rookie quarterbacks. Herbert was phenomenal yesterday as well in that game against the Jags. Now, that's the Jags. But Joe Burrow, had he had any defense yesterday, would have had another win, and the Bengals would have had two wins and a tie this year when they were coming off being the worst team in football last season. And he is awesome. Joe Burrow is already awesome. He's already a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, and on some days he's probably already a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
He has all the makings to be a top 5 quarterback and all the makings to be the greatest quarterback in Bengal history. Like, that is how good he looks early.
Wow.
Oof, you wouldn't say that if we were two doors down from
exactly.
Boomer.
You're I was
safe
just gonna
in your
say,
basement right
100%,
now.
100%. No, no, no. I'm safe here, but I'm telling you, that's how good he is. He's special.
You want to tell Boomer already that the best quarterback in Bengals history is seven games into his career?
I'm safe here. I am not down the hole. Yes.
Okay.
Wisconsin QB Graham Mertz, who debuted with five TDs Friday against Illinois, has reportedly tested positive for COVID-19. A nasal swab will now confirm if he is positive. Big Ten rules say no practice or games for 21 days. And yesterday's NASCAR postseason race at Texas Motor Speedway held overnight by rain. They'll try again at 10 Eastern today. Before the race, officials confiscated Martin Truex Jr.'s spoiler. Truex docked 20 points in the standings, fined $35,000. His crew chief, James Small, ejected from the race.
Did you say like 10 a.m. Eastern?
Yeah, Monday morning, man. They got to move on to the next race. Start it right back up today.
Should we get a playoff NASCAR race? Should we get off the air today?
Yeah, look at you all getting
Sign me up. That's great.
There you go.
I live for 10 a.m. postseason sports. That's awesome.
It's like Japanese baseball.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
All right, thank you, Bogues. When we come back, let's talk about last night's crazy game, the Wild Wild West. The Cardinals making things real interesting in the NFC West with a crazy game against the Seahawks last night. You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Also, hit us up on an Ask the Pros question today. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you guys get to throw us a question. We'll answer it later on in the program. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and listen later on to the show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Cardinals, Seahawks, we'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
20 seconds to go. Snap. Ball is down. Kick from Gonzalez is up. It looks good. It is good! The Cardinals win it! An incredible finish at State Farm Stadium. The Cardinals take down Seattle. 37-34. Redemption for Zane Gonzalez.
I'm just excited that these guys can celebrate. They worked really hard, had that two-game losing streak, and they've really, really focused at practice and in the meetings and taking it upon themselves when they do have extra time to put in the work, and it's paid off.
That was Dave Pasch, the voice of the Arizona Cardinals on Cardinals Radio, as Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals get a crazy win last night in overtime, at the end of overtime, over the Seahawks to thrust themselves into the race for the NFC West. Thanks so much for being with us. Doing More is sponsored by the Home Depot. With help from the Home Depot, you can take on fall projects without ever leaving your own backyard. Download the Home Depot mobile app today to search, shop, and more. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. We'll talk about the Steelers' win yesterday over the Titans later on in the morning. Now the only undefeated team in the NFL, moving to 6-0 with a 27-24 win over the Tennessee Titans. Pittsburgh gets contributions everywhere, including from Big Ben. A couple of touchdown passes. Benny Snell adding to the win with a touchdown run. Next up, a date in Baltimore. Steelers and Ravens next Sunday, which is going to be awesome. That win last night for the Cardinals was such a huge win. It's such a huge win because it's got to prove to them that they belong now in that conversation with the best in the division. And this was going to be kind of a attempted breakthrough year for the Cardinals. We didn't quite know whether the Rams were going to bounce back. We didn't know what the Niners were going to be. We assumed the Seahawks would be pretty good. But last night what the Cardinals did was they put themselves into the conversation for the best in that division. Now, they're on the come. They're on the rise. It's a Cardinals team that's still trying to figure out how to get there. But what's very obvious is, and I will take my lumps on this, and I'm always happy to admit when I'm wrong, because as I mentioned in the past, it means that sports is unpredictable. If I always got everything right, what fun is that? I did not like the idea of going to Kyler Murray if you were the Arizona Cardinals, and I doubted the ability of Cliff Kingsbury as an NFL head coach. And right now the Cardinals look like they hit on both of those. Murray has been fantastic in creating big plays with both his arm and his legs. And last night, he threw for 360 yards and three touchdowns and also ran for another 67 and a score. He's been excellent. He's been excellent. And just year number two, you can already tell Murray is one of the best playmakers of that position in all of the sport. And the Cardinals, with DeAndre Hopkins in there, have surrounded him with pieces to help him be successful. To throw to two potential Hall of Fame caliber wide receivers in Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins, how much does that help? And that throw to Hopkins and his toe tap to get inside the pylon and touchdown was just a thing of beauty. The Cardinals foist themselves into the conversation in the best division in football with that win last night. And that was a lot of fun, back and forth, and the comeback for the Cardinals. And what a learning experience to be down double digits to the Seahawks and then be able to come all the way back and win. Let me tell you that also, to me, one of the highlights, the greatest highlights of the season, was DK Metcalf last night. On that interception by Budda Baker at the goal line, for DK Metcalf to see the interception and forget giving up on the play, letting Budda Baker go for the pick six, to immediately just lock in and say, I'm going to hunt this guy down and he's got a 10-yard start on me, was insane. It is insane. It is just one of those things that as you see it, you go, this can't be happening. This cannot be happening. And credit Chris Collinsworth and the NBC crew last night for understanding the weight of that as it happened. It's not like DK Metcalf is some type of speed burner that's kind of the small, you know, light track star. DK is a tank. And he has Budda Baker, who's a fast defensive back, not an offensive lineman, not a defensive lineman, have a 10-yard head start on him on a pick six. And DK takes the entire length of the field to track him down. It is amazing. It is amazing. And it saves 7 points because the Seahawks or the Cardinals get nothing on that drive. They don't even settle for the field goal. They go for it on fourth down, don't get it. That saves 7 points. It is one of the most remarkable plays of the NFL season. It really is. And all it is a tackle on an interception. It is that impressive. It is one of those things where if you did not see it with your own eyes, it would sound like it was an urban legend. Like the things that they talk about with Bo Jackson that nobody ever actually had any camera footage of. Oh yeah, once upon a time, DK Metcalf was at his own goal line. And Budda Baker intercepted a pass and had a 10-yard head start. And DK tracked him down. And they didn't even get a field goal out of the drive. He saved 7. What? That didn't happen. Yeah, no, it happened. DK Metcalf tracked down a fast defensive back with a 10-yard head start over the length of a football field to save a pick six. What? There's a moment where DK just puts his head down and goes, I'm getting him. Here I go. I mean, it is extraordinary. Also, what is Cliff Kingsbury doing in overtime? You know, there's still moments where Kingsbury obviously does not look like a veteran NFL head coach, and this was part of it. The offense's move of the football, they're all the way down to the Seahawks' 18-yard line. It's on the second possession of OT, so all they need to do is kick the field goal to win. And from the 18-yard line, there is a botched play, and they lose 5 yards. And he gets all squirrely. Kingsbury immediately gets squirrely after the botched play. So he's like, all right, we're gonna kick the field goal now on 2nd and 15. Now you have at least one more down that you can try to get the 5 yards back. And then you can prepare for a 3rd down field goal attempt, knowing that if the spot is bad, you can just sit on it and kick on 4th down. So kicking on 2nd down is a bizarre choice. Especially, again, when your offense is rolling outside of that one botched play. The field goal kicking unit's not ready. So on 2nd and 15, they're racing out there. Kingsbury notices that all hell's breaking loose. The kick gets off, but not before he throws a timeout up there to avoid the delay of game. The kick is good, but it's no good because Kingsbury has called the timeout. So he's iced his own kicker, okay? He's now iced his own kicker after that scramble. And then they try to kick it again. It's no good. And overtime, goes on. Kingsbury, to his credit after the game, admitted that he blew it. He made a mistake and it was a debacle. Yeah, I'd say so. But they survived. When we come back in the World Series, the Dodgers are one step away after Game 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.